to See We Do Have a Voice. I'm your host, Shelley Turner. Being diagnosed with breast cancer is where the discussion starts. Breast cancer doesn't care where you live. It doesn't care who you know, how healthy you are, how many initials you have behind your name, or what color your skin is. This podcast is a platform that will create discussion in order to help you find your story, your decisions, your information, and your understanding. Now let's get into it. Hi, everybody. It's Shelley, and we are back again with See, We Do Have a Voice. And I have a guest today that is going to really share a voice that needs to be heard. Paris, welcome to See, We Do Have a Voice. And again, thank you for your time. You have some time, and I'm going to use every bit of your time. And you are going to share, like I said prior to the recording, God has used you in a very special way. And you have to really accept the word chosen when it comes to what you're going through, what you have been diagnosed with, which is, I had to look it up to make sure. I was like, how could that be? So Paris, again, welcome to See We Do Have a Voice. And tell us who you are, Paris.
All right. My name is Paris. I am a multiple sclerosis survivor, thriver, and I'm also a triple negative breast cancer survivor and thriver as well. And happy to be here. And I have
literally
happy to be here. I have gone through quite a few trials in my life, and two of them dealing with my illness. And like you said, you know, God has really like brought me over and through so many things that I've gone through in my life. But these two particular things I rave about, because looking at me on the outside, no one would ever know that I've gone through MS and battled breast cancer. So I openly and proudly share my testimony to anybody that has a lending ear. Because I have truly been blessed to see the other side of survivorship. And not a lot of people can say that they've had that. And so I'm just blessed to, you know, be here and share with you the things that I've gone through and how I overcame them, and, you know, help somebody else ultimately with their journey that they may be going through. So
because that's what we wanted to do here, and creating this platform is to create a wealth of information.
Yes.
Because once you get diagnosed with just, let's talk about the breast cancer first.
Right.
Your next thought is, what do I do? And I'm sure that that just can't be avoided. Where am I going? What do I do? What did they just say?
Right.
Now, do I have to sit? I have to process. I have to understand. You may have to say it again, because who are you talking? Were you talking to me?
Right.
so you look for what I hope See We Do Have a Voice can offer as far as learning to advocate for yourself.
Right.
Learning that everything that's going to happen is going to come from you. It's going to be your decision. You're going to have to understand the decisions you make, because like I said, you make a decision to make a decision. You've made a decision. Mm-hmm. So that is where you are going to have to start. But you tell me, what came first, the MS or the breast cancer?
So surprisingly, the MS came first. And then,
really?
Yeah. So I always tell people the MS, going through the things that I went through with my MS, really like pushed me to beat breast cancer, because had I not gone through what I went through with MS, I probably would have been in a corner somewhere crying, you know, being diagnosed with breast cancer. So I do thank God for preparing me for the next journey that I was going to have to go through a couple of years later with breast cancer. So,
wow. So the symptoms that you had from MS, what were the symptoms that you were having to make you go see what is this?
So crazy part is I worked in medical field, and at the time I worked in neurology. I never heard.
Wow.
I heard about MS, but I didn't know exactly what it was. And I worked with a nurse, who had MS. And I was like, they were like, yeah, she has MS. And I'm like, okay, it sounds really horrible, but not ever thinking in my mind that I would ever get diagnosed. So one morning I woke up and I had like this really bad, like I call it an eye grain because it was like a migraine in my left eye, and it just was intense. And it just started with like this kind of blurry vision, and it just started with like, and then it progressed to like these like glimmery, I can only describe as glimmer. And then eventually my central vision was completely gone. Like I was blind in my central, like I couldn't see anything. It was black.
Really?
Yeah. So I told my nurse manager at the time, I was like, hey, I need to go see an eye doctor because I'm like having like some issues with my left eye and I'm having this really bad migraine. And she was like, well, go ahead and go to the doctor and, let me know how everything goes. So I went to the eye doctor. They did what's called a visual field exam where they check your, you have to follow the spots on the exam. And so the doctor came back in there and he was like, here's your right eye and here's your left eye. And it was like a big black dot in the middle. And
And
he
there
was
was
like,
nothing.
nothing. And he was like, that is called optic neuritis, which is inflammation of the optic nerve. And so he immediately sent me back to my job. Right next to my job was a hospital. He sent me over there to get an MRI. And, God, he set everything up. And I truly believe this because I went there and got the MRI. And the tech that did my MRI was the husband of a nurse that worked at the clinic that I was at. And he was like, this is off record. He was like, and I'm not supposed to tell you this. He was like, but you see these spots on your brain? He was like, that's called MS. And I was like, I heard about that. I was like, but I don't know exactly what it is. And he was like, they're called lesions. And they're basically scarring of, your spit, like certain parts of your brain is like they're scarring. And it cuts off your central nervous
The
system
nerves,
to, send signals. And so he was like, that optic nerve was like inflamed, like really, really bad. So I wasn't officially diagnosed, but I, was blessed to work at a neurology clinic
Well,
slash
you got the
surgery.
information,
And they were like my, I gave it to a neurologist there, and he was like, whoever's MRI this is, they need to hurry up and go get steroids like immediately. And so I didn't tell him who it was. I was just like, I was kind of like,
Here
okay.
we go with the
I was like,
secret. We're gonna
thank
keep this a
you.
secret.
Yeah. So, it was a blessing because the neurosurgeon that I worked for at the time, he literally like gave me the keys to his car. He set up an appointment with this really like very good like eye clinic. It's like a optometrist. They do like eye surgeries and everything. Like you literally have to have like really good insurance to get there. He called the doctor and was like, hey, my medical assistant needs to get there immediately. I need you to look at her eyes and I need you to put her on some steroids or whatever you have to do. He gave me his keys to his Porsche
But he's going to let you drive with this one eye.
drive with his one eye. And he gave me the keys to his truck, his Porsche truck, and was like, just take it. And I was like, I don't feel comfortable taking your car. And he was like, it's fine. He was like, I want you to get there and I want you to get taken care of. And like God literally like set everything up. He looked at my eye and he set me on steroids and I did 3 days of IV steroids and I was able to do it at home. I didn't have to go to the hospital. And so I had to get a lumbar puncture where they puncture your back and they take spinal fluid and that's how they diagnose you on top of your MRI. And so with all the testing that I had, they were like, hey, Ms. Smith, you have multiple sclerosis. And it took me back because I had no family history. And of course, I'm like trying to educate myself on what it is. And I'm like, wow, like, what
How
are the
old were you?
odds?
How
So
old
this
were
was
you?
2015. So, oof, I was probably like in my, maybe in my 20s, probably when I got diagnosed. Like, I was diagnosed early.
Yeah, that's
So,
young.
yeah. So, it took me back because I didn't really know and understand why I was diagnosed with such a disease that can, a lot of people are in wheelchairs, they're, having to use a cane.
It's
And so
debilitating.
it's very debilitating. So you look at a disease like that, the only thing you can think of is, oh my God, am I going to end up in a wheelchair? Am I going to end up, not being able to walk? Not am I is my vision going to ever come back? Like, that was scary for me. That whole little time frame. But, I am so glad that God set everything up, and I was able to educate myself. And also, he surrounded me with so many doctors, and I was able to see one of the top doctors there at the time, and they treated me. You know, I was on an extensive course of steroids for probably like 2 to 3 weeks until the inflammation like died and decreased. And after that, like I was fine. And then I have multiple relapses after that. And so, you know,
Really?
yeah, like it's stress is a big factor with MS, with any disease,
Right,
but
right, right.
particularly MS, because if you are stressed to the point where you're just like your mind is just boggled down with so many things, it starts to affect your body. And we all know when you have stress, it affects your body. And if you have a disease, it affects the disease. And so, there were many a times my really bad relapse was in 2016, 2017, and I wasn't able to walk for probably like 6 months.
Really? And you attributed it because you were stressed out and it
I
didn't
was
help
definitely
your
stressed out.
healing?
Yeah, I went through a period of time where I was going through my marriage, my previous marriage, and I was very stressed out. I was very depressed. And it got to the point where I was so stressed out, my body just started breaking down.
I was going to say, your body broke down. Your
It
body
broke
wasn't able to,
down.
there
Yeah.
was nothing to fix anything with.
No, you know, and I try my best to stay in a positive mindset. You know, you really have to lean on God in those moments because that's all you
That's
really
all you
have.
got. That's all
Like, you
you
don't have
have.
anything else. You can talk to a million people, but at the end of the day,
They're not going to give you what you can get in
absolutely
your
not.
spirit, in your heart, when
Absolutely
you
not.
go to God and say, look, and you don't even have to like highlight things for God. You don't even have to point out, you don't have to remind him. You don't have to bring it back to his, to his mind, because he already
He
knows, and
already knows.
he's waiting to see if you're going to come, or in your own understanding, you're just going to trust and be stressed with anxiety. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be sick. And he's like, well, raising, he's like, I'm right here. And I'll be here when you get through. So it's like in your situation, it was a blessing that you were even in the medical field, but in the right medical field with people that knew you personally. Because I don't care, we're just going to go back and forth and everybody can say what they want to say, but it is always who you know in any situation you find yourself in.
It sure is because
And, it's going to give you the green light. Are you going to be at the yellow light? Or are you going to be at the red light? And if you know somebody, you're going to the green light. And that's just life. That's, unfortunate. That's the way we live. That's how we live. If it's somebody who you know, you're going to get there a little faster.
It is, and it's very true. And I feel like if I wasn't, you know, in the medical field, if I wasn't in neurology in particular,
Exactly,
you know, like I
exactly.
would have never, like if I worked in OB or, you know,
You would have
primary,
got a
like,
referral and the
yeah,
appointment, and no,
exactly. Well, let me refer you to
no.
this doctor. I literally was right there and around the corner because that place, like there was neurosurgery on one side and neurology on the other side. They just sent me down the hallway and my doctor, I talked to him and he started
But
me on
they made a way,
treatment. They made
they
it.
made a way, they made a way, they made
And,
a
you
way.
know, because of my reputation there and they knew that I was a great worker and, you know, I, you know, everybody knew me and they were like, we just want to help you. We just want to, you know, get you to a place where you're stable and you can still work.
Well,
And
he
I
had you the keys
appreciate
to
that.
a Porsche, so he trusted you a little
He
bit.
did.
There was a little bit of, I
That
had to make
man, I
another
was,
run. It's like,
you're
I'm coming
right.
back. I'm coming back. But wait a minute.
That man, he was the best doctor I could ever work for because
That
he
was
really
good.
like, you know, God, we sit like God seen each other. Like he said
You
that
were in the right
because
place.
I
You were just
was.
in the perfect order.
I
So,
was.
how long after your last relapse did you get diagnosed with breast cancer?
So that was 2016, 2017. I had a period where I was good. And then March 9th, 2021, which is actually coming up.
Wow, you know
March
that
9th.
date? We do know that date. We
Oh,
do know
yes.
that day.
Oh, yes. I know that day very well. March 9th, 2021 is when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So,
And did you have symptoms or a normal checkup or
I
routine?
did. The crazy part, like I said, it's almost similar to the same story. I had a previous surgery 7 years prior to my diagnosis. And I had what's called a papilloma, which is basically it was like a tumor, like a small tumor right on the nipple. And that I actually thought was cancer because I had bloody discharge. And Ooh. But it was benign. And he pulled me to the office. Yeah, I went to the cancer center there in Memphis, Tennessee, where I was living at the time. And he pulled me to the office when I was married. And he was like, "Hey, you have a tumor that's under the nipple, and we need to take it out so we can do a biopsy and see if it's cancer."
Right.
Everything was fine. That was benign. Several years later, fast forward to 2021, I had this lump on the same side, and it was probably the size of a golf ball. That's the only way I can describe it. And it
Really?
was like a smooth stone. I know to watch the area and
Right,
check.
right,
And,
right.
in between that time, I got my monthly, my yearly mammograms and everything. But I had
Right.
this big lump, and I ignored it because I was like, okay, maybe it's just another papilloma, and maybe it, there's no skin discoloration, no discharge like last time.
Like
I
last
was
time.
not ever in my mind that I'd think that it would be cancer. And so it wasn't until I was in the bathroom and I was talking to my mom, and I was like, "Yeah, I got this like big, and I let her feel it." And she was like, because she always taught me how to do self-breast
Right.
exams growing up as a child.
Right.
And she was like, "Yeah," she was like, "You might want to get that checked out." And then I kind of went up a little bit further, and there was one probably like this size, and it was like it had a texture to it. And that's
Oh.
when I was like, "Okay,
Let's
something's
go.
off."
Yeah, let's
So
go see.
I went and got my mammogram done. And where I go at, they do a mammogram, and because I have dense breast tissue, and if you know anything about dense breast,
Right,
breast tissue,
right.
it's very hard for them to see. So they did a 3D mammogram, had
Right.
the mammogram done. Maybe like 10 minutes later, they were like, "Hey, go ahead and go into the next room and we'll do an ultrasound." And the doctor came in and she was like, "It looks like you have another papilloma, so we'll just, maybe you need to call your doctor and, get a breast surgeon." I'm like, "Well, what kind of breast surgeon? Like just a general one?" Like I had so many questions. I'm like,
It's like, get to it
yeah,
here. What do
not
you
really giving
mean?
me a whole lot of information here. And so I just kind of felt lost because I'm like, okay, well, what do I do?
But
So
see, at
she
that time, you saw the difference between knowing someone and just being a patient in the clinic.
I did. I did.
Very different
Very
conversation you're
different.
having.
Yes. And so I went and got the, I left there. Maybe like 2 days later, they called me and it was like, "Miss Smith, we need to do a biopsy." And I'm like, "Okay, a biopsy? You guys said it was a papilloma." And she was like, "Yeah, but we just want to make sure."
You're like,
And
wait a
I'm
minute.
like, "Okay, well, this doesn't sound right, but okay."
Right.
So I was like, "Okay, well," I had to advocate for myself and be like, "Okay, well, make sure I ask all the questions and, make sure I'm,
Because this
educated."
is different from the last
Yeah,
time.
exactly. So, and I don't have any family history of breast cancer. And so they called me to do the biopsy. And I remember they called me that Friday. I had the biopsy Wednesday. They called me that Friday. I will never forget that day in my life. I can vividly see it in my mind.
Of course,
I was,
you don't forget that
no,
day.
you don't. I was at work. I was doing x-rays and they called me and I missed the phone call and I was like, "I think this is the doctor." And so I went into like one of the bays at work and the doctor was like, "Hey, Miss Smith, like I regret to inform you that both tumors were positive for cancer." And I was
But
just speechless.
he went at you like that. He said both tumors. Now, they didn't tell you it was a tumor before that, did they?
They did not. They just said it was
So,
a
but he
papilloma.
addresses it. Yeah, but he addresses you
He
both
did.
tumor. So
Both.
now he's telling you have tumors.
Right.
Yeah,
But this was
okay.
a totally different, this is the totally different radiologist. Like one was, actually did it, and then the one that actually had, that
The
looked
reading.
at it and
Right.
read the results and had
Right.
called the patient. So I'm like, how do we go from papilloma to two tumors being positive for cancer? So that was just probably like the biggest gut punch I could ever get in life.
So what was the time frame between your nipple, the little growth under your nipple being removed to the two tumors coming?
That was like, I want to say that tumor was removed in 20, maybe 15, 2015.
And
And
the two
so, and the two that popped up were in 2021.
Oh, okay. So that was a good while. That was
It was
something
a real,
like 6 years later.
I had to look at it. And I'm like, well, I didn't really notice any difference,
Right.
and they didn't
So,
say we need to follow up because you may be
right,
at risk
right.
for
And
cancer in the
it looks
future.
like if they would have been following up, they would have seen that because that just didn't grow overnight that big. That
Correct.
grew over time.
But you know what? You have to be very aware of your body. And
That's the start.
if I wasn't aware of my body, I would have never realized that this thing was growing at a rapid speed. Like
Exactly.
it wasn't like it just like it wasn't like, oh, I just woke up one morning, I'm like, oh, I got this golf sized tumor.
Right,
It was just
right.
over a period of time. And because, we as African Americans, we shy, even though I work in healthcare, I still shy away from healthcare because I'm like, you don't want to go in there, you don't want to hear anything bad.
No,
And
nobody
also
does.
you don't want to feel like you're not being heard as well. So coming from somebody telling you may have a papilloma to this is cancer, two different conversations.
And the
And
conversation, in my opinion, should have been with you after the papilloma. We're going to keep an eye on you. We're
correct.
going to, we're just going to keep, let's do this every 6 months. Let's
Correct.
just see that nothing just comes up
Right.
and this thing is manifesting in you over 6 years. And it's just like, oh, they're not checking us. So we can just, let's make two because
Yeah.
nobody's coming for us,
Yeah.
and there you are. And, there you are
Yeah. And
with the
had I
call.
known that years ago, I would have been, on it and, like, hey, I need to follow up. But, hearing the word benign, you're like, okay, I'm good.
Good to go.
Yeah, but not knowing several years later that it would be, breast cancer and an aggressive cancer at that. I didn't just
And it
get
sounds like
diagnosed
it,
with,
right?
just a regular cancer. Like I got diagnosed
Right.
with the most aggressive cancer you could ever have. And that was the scary part because once I found out the stats, and I'm so thankful, again, God set everything up. And I remember when I had my follow-up with my surgeon because I saw him first. The first thing he said to me, I walked in the door and my mom was sitting across the room from me. He was like, Miss Paris, he was like, I just want to let you know God is not upset with you. You didn't do anything wrong. And I, when I tell you, I wanted to just bawl and cry because I'm like, what doctor
Says
comes
that.
in and tell you, like, who says that?
Did you say, well, God must be mad at me?
No, I in my mind, of course, you go through these millions of thoughts in your
Of
head.
course, of course. The why,
But
the
it was,
how, the why me, the how me, and
yeah, I did. And it was like God sent him to tell me to rest assured, like, this is not why you have
You
cancer.
have this, right?
This is not for you. This is for somebody else. Yeah. And I was like, all
Okay,
right.
let's move. Let's
So, all
go.
right, but that's exactly what I said. So I looked at him and he was like, well, you're gonna lose your hair. He was like, you're gonna go through several rounds of chemo. You're gonna have to do, you're gonna lose your breasts. And I tried to negotiate that. And he was like, nope. He was like, your cancer is too aggressive. We could not just do a simple lumpectomy. You have to get a full lumpectomy. And I'm like, can we reconvene after chemo and then we can try, like, maybe discuss this? And he was like, no, I'm not even going to put you at risk for that. He was like, no.
Because they gonna dig deep.
Right. And he was like, and you're probably going to have to come back again to just get it cut off in the first, anyway. So we're not going to do that. And I appreciate him for telling me that because he was very candid with me. He was very transparent. And my mom was in there. So I was able to, I thank God my mom was in there because I literally was just like a zombie and I couldn't talk. I couldn't breathe. I was just like, I
That's
had
what we
so
talk
many
about.
thoughts.
We talk
Yeah.
about that when you go for that initial consultation, don't go by yourself because you're
No.
not going to hear them. You're
No.
not going to understand them. You're not going to remember a word they said. And
No.
when they say, okay, your next visit, you're going to be like, well, what happened with this visit? What
Right.
did you say?
Right.
I don't,
It's all
can
of
you
that.
tell me? Because you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And that's just, this is common sense. Everybody that's been, a guest on my show, you take somebody with you. Because
You
you're
have to.
certainly not, you're not going to hear, you're not going to understand, because you don't even really want to be there,
Right,
first
in the
of all.
first
So,
place, yeah.
yeah, so your spirit is somewhere else, and you are still saying, I don't know, maybe not, because I don't think so. You're going to have to dig where? You're going to have to cut my breast? What?
Right.
Are you sure? Are you
Right.
really sure? Are you sure you don't want to do the biopsy first and let's just see? But, just like you said, here you have these two tumors that are aggressively growing. Now, explain to me what the triple negative really means, because I know it, I've heard it, but it's like, did that constitute the aggressiveness of your
Yeah,
tumors?
it
Okay.
did. So with like a regular, like I said, I did have to educate myself because initially I got diagnosed with invasive ductal carcinoma, which is basically like a regular, like a basic cancer. But they were waiting on this HER2 gene to come back. So triple negative simply means you were negative for estrogen. Your cancer is not feeding off estrogen. Your cancer is not feeding off progesterone. I mean, I'm sorry. It's not feeding off estrogen. It's not feeding off progesterone, and it's not feeding off this HER2 gene. And most cancers feed off of them. So there's more targeted treatments like, the treatments that are out now, you can target them with that. But with
Oh
triple
yeah,
negative,
specifically.
there is no targeted treatment for triple negative because it doesn't, you can't treat it because
There's no
it's like
source for it.
there's no source of it. Yeah.
There's
So
no
they don't
source
know
for
where
it.
it's coming from. So
That's the scary part.
it is very much scary. And also knowing that the stats, so my doctor, she's brown. She's Indian. And first thing she said to me was, Black people are at the highest rates for triple negative breast cancer.
Really.
And, of course, in my mind, I'm like, why is it always Black people? We're at high rates for everything. And so when she told me, they were still, there's no studies out yet. And, like I said, again, God really set that up because she's actually on the clinical trial board at Winship Cancer Center. So she has access data to all these, things about, stats about triple negative, and she's able to educate her patients. And I hear a lot of stories about a lot of patients have or not been educated by their doctor because
They don't do it.
they don't do it.
They don't educate, they prescribe.
They just prescribe.
That's
And
all
you're like, you've been
they
diagnosed with
do.
cancer, you're going to just go through chemo and then, radiation and all that. But she actually sat me down and was like, these are the stats. And, I'm like, okay, but still, like, why am I diagnosed? And at the time, I'm like, am I going to die? And she was
Yeah,
like,
let's talk about that now.
they was like, that's the first thing they addressed. They said, you're not going to die. They said, we're going to treat it with chemo, aggressive chemo. We're going to do a mastectomy, and then we're going to do radiation. Radiation was on the table at the time, but so yeah, I mean, I actually put in my head, I was like, look, if I can overcome MS and walk again, I can beat this. Like, this is nothing. Regardless of how aggressive it is, like, I can beat it. And that's what I kept that in my mind, and I just kept it like the whole time I was going through it. And I'm like, God, you're just gonna have to just, walk me through this journey because this is something I've never dealt with before.
I'm not
Cancer,
familiar. Yeah,
I'm
I'm
not
not
very
familiar.
familiar. And I don't even have anybody in my family that I've seen. My godmother, she had breast cancer. She passed away from it, but she's the first person I thought about. But I had to educate myself. I had to, prepare myself for what was to come. If the chemo worked, if it didn't work, because like I said, there's no targeted treatment. They could just, chemo is the only targeted treatment. And
Chemo's the
sometimes,
first. Chemo's the first thing off their lips, you know.
And
That's
that,
the first.
yeah. And, sometimes it doesn't work for everybody,
You're right, because I've had several guests on the show where one doctor got very candid with one of our guests, and he told her, he said, "I don't want you to do chemo." He said, "I wouldn't do chemo." He said, "I would," and she wound up being seen by an oncologist that was just filling in for her oncologist who had recommended and prescribed the chemo. But when this guy came in, he said, "I wouldn't do that." And he didn't do it. And she's fine. So it's like different doctors have different opinions.
They do.
And that's why I always say on the show, one of my guest's story is that she was told Black women don't get mammograms. And that was the biggest one for me that I just, what do you mean? But we also talk about, the stereotypical racism in oncology, and
Yes,
it does exist.
they
So, when you go in there, just like you've educated yourself, I'm listening to you and I feel like I'm in class. and you've educated yourself, because I'm listening to you, and I have an appointment with my oncologist in 2 weeks, and I'm going, okay, now explain my cancers again. Now they're gone, you know, 1998, 2010, and 2020. I got the HER2. Wow. And my first two were estrogen sensitive. But here comes this HER2, and my doctor's like, what? Where did this even come from? And I opted out of any treatment because I had such a hard time with the second diagnosis and the treatment being way off the charts because, you know, it comes back. So that means we have to do more. So it was aggressively treated. And I was in the hospital. I almost died. It was like, what's going on? And I tell my story for one of the days. I was hanging off the toilet and I was saying, God, why? Why am I going through this? Because I was sick. So when the third diagnosis came of the HER2, I'm like, uh-uh. And my doctor said, well, you would be on a way more aggressive chemo. And I'm like, well, I don't think I could take that.
Yeah.
And then he said, after that treatment, the four rounds of that, you'd have to be on another chemo for the HER2 because you can't treat them the same.
Wow.
For a year. For a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a year, and it may affect your heart, but then after the treatment, your heart will go back to normal. I'm like, boy, bye.
Love it.
I said, yeah. I'm like, no. He said, Shelly, you know, I'm just have to tell you. I said, yeah, you can tell me, but
yeah,
I'm not interested. So, yeah. You know, I go twice a year. I have my scans twice a year.
Yeah.
Blood work, you know, regular, but I'm not interested. You know, for me, there's a no vacancy sign here. Mm-hmm. There's no more room for cancer.
Yeah.
And it's like trespassers will be prosecuted because of the God I serve.
Right.
Yeah, the God I serve is like, you cannot trespass. And that's what you did in the past. You have trespassed. And that's over because now I know you can't.
Yeah.
I allowed it because I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to go and do what the doctor says. But now I speak to me. I speak to my body. I speak to my health. I speak to my life. And it's just not going to happen again.
Yeah.
That's just it. You know, it's just not. So that's why I wanted to create a platform for women to come and just talk about it because it is who you are now.
Yeah.
You know, you are a story. You do. Everybody that's been on my show, you have a story because you have had cancer. Cancer showed up, invited you to a party. You didn't need to RSVP.
Right.
Yeah. Because you going to be the host.
Right.
You're going to walk in and like, oh, is this for me? Yes. Everything in this room is for you.
So, welcome.
Yeah, come on in. But, you know, it's just like you said, you have educated yourself. You are your own advocate.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first thing the doctor says, oh, your hair is going to fall out. And I laugh at myself because my first diagnosis, I think a week before my chemo, growing, got my hair braided. And when I went to the doctor, he said, what you do that for? I said, because I don't want my hair to fall out. And I laughed because he said between 5 and 10 days. And on 10 days, I was brushing it out. I was like, 10 days? Today is the 10th day. I was like, okay. So like, you know, I tell on the show, I started combing it out and I patted it because I was going to a party. I said, ooh, just let it stay here overnight. It's like the next day. I called my sister-in-law. I said, come, shave it off. Because I wasn't going to look like a chia pet, you know, with a piece here and thin. I said, nope, just come and shave my head so I can be done with this. But as women, we have a streak about us. And we're vain in a sense because we like to dress a certain way. We like our hair a certain way.
Yeah.
And let me just say, you look amazing. You look really cute. So just tell the world how cute you look. But it's
Thank
like...
You.
We have a natural vein, and it's not like, oh, we're better this, you know, you'd look one. But we do care about the way we look.
Yes,
we do absolutely. Care about what we put on our face. We do care about the shoes on our feet, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, when we hear a diagnosis, it's getting ready to change everything about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had guests on the show that have had the mastectomies, and it's like, I don't even want to look at myself in the mirror. And it took me a long time to look. And for me, I did the radical, you know, because they told me after the second diagnosis, I also removed my ovaries, you know, all this preventive.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, my doctor's like, just do it. Because, if this HER2 thing showed up, let's just get it. I'm like, okay, I don't care. Because I'm done. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
You take know, them
just off. Cut, take them off. So, but then when I have women on here that were devastated at the results. But for me, I feel like my surgeon just took my nipple off. Mm-hmm. And I just have two straight across scars. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really bother me. But when I hear and see the stories of other women, it's like, really? So as individuals, when we decide to do that, when we just really are given no other choice so that we can, you know, still have our lives.
Yeah.
Or at least make sure that we're going to have long life.
Right.
What the doctors do, once you get breast cancer, it's a journey.
Because
all those things I said, your hair changes, your skin changes, your weight changes, your body changes.
Yeah.
All these things that women put effort into.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like, who do you become
after
all this? And just like you made a point, I hear it, your ex-husband. And that's right?
Mm-hmm.
You were. And during my first and second diagnosis, I was married. Some people are built for it and some people are not.
Yeah.
And just like you said, the stress that you were going through, I, at the time, had started my divorce, but I had to stop because I got diagnosed a second time.
Mm.
And it just wasn't healthy. It was not healthy because I didn't get that support.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, oh, well, you know, I hear stories where husbands were the rock. I don't have that story.
Yeah.
I don't have it at all.
Yeah.
No. So with that, it's like you become your own advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And you become that person that's trying to hang on to all your qualities.
Yeah.
Now, they're getting ready to take them. You know, they're getting ready to lay them on this table. And when you get it from this table, you're just not the same person.
Yeah.
I don't care what they say, you know, from just a biopsy to just a CT scan, the MRIs, the cutting on my body, the surgeries I've had, you're just not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And you make this wonderful effort to look on the outside.
Yeah.
But through the grace of God, I'm lovely on the inside.
Mm.
I mean, I'm ecstatic about the inside.
Yeah.
Because just like you say, and see, look at the smile on your face.
Yeah.
Because it's like God gives you rest, not sleep.
Yes.
He will give you rest.
Yes.
Where those things you need to rest with.
Yeah.
Because you are the child of God you were in the beginning. You're still that child of God. You're always going to be that child of God.
Yeah.
God created you in amazement.
Yeah.
So I see me as God sees me in heaven, as I am in heaven. And that, you know, that's how I survive every day.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, regardless of what your religious belief is, whether you believe or you don't, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it is definitely how I get through.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see that in you. I hear that in you. And with what God took you through, what is he giving you now? Because he created you for something.
Yeah.
I mean, you have really been Lazarus out of the grave.
Yeah.
You know, you've been so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's like, what does he really have for you? What are you doing?
Right.
So what are you doing?
So, you know, I didn't know I was going to be on this journey to, mm-hmm. you know.
Of course not.
You know.
This is not. And you don't get the memo for this.
Yeah, you don't. You know, but in that, I've shared my story a thousand times, and I will never stop sharing it because it is my testimony.
Yes.
And if I can help just one person, two people, a thousand people, I pray every day. I'm like, God, you know, open the doors where I can share my testimony to millions of people, because my desire is to help women, you know, not only educate themselves but to see themselves as beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I did the crazy thing once I lost my hair. My friend, he was like, hey, I think you should do a photo shoot. And I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. And I did the photo shoot and I felt so liberated. And I felt beautiful. And it wasn't just the outer appearance. It was my inner beauty was just shining through, because I've seen so many people go through cancer and MS and they have such a negative outlook on life,
and they look
angry, and they're, you know,
they look like
they
it.
I promise you, I kid you not. I know one person. They look like they have been through it. And they only have been probably a year survivor, and I'm 2 years out, but you can tell the difference. I mean, that person and myself, and not to say because, but I embraced my journey and I trusted God throughout my journey. And I took that and I decided to share with the world, what God has done for me, because it wasn't by Paris's
No, it's nothing you did because you don't
nothing
deserve it. You don't
at
deserve it.
all. But
We
it
don't
was
deserve it.
simply by God that brought me through and that helped me every step of the way through
Because
chemo.
you ask him. You
I
ask him.
did. I did.
You
And
ask him.
I'm so glad I did because, of course, some of my days I'm like, God, why? But, at the end of the day, God was like, okay, are you done?
Yeah, because I'm
Right.
waiting. I'm waiting. I got patience.
I have things for you to do and cannot do them. Just being like, okay, like
Woe
I
is
need to trust
me,
you 100%, and I
okay?
trusted God 100%, regardless of the outcome, because I've had several, things that have happened since my diagnosis and, the surgeries and, I didn't, like, chemo didn't work for me. I had
Really?
to, no, chemo did not work for me. My tumor actually grew in size right after I finished
Your
chemotherapy.
chemo. And you were on an aggressive form.
Aggressive. I did AC, I did Taxol, the two most aggressive. Oh, and I did, several rounds of chemo. And as soon as I finished,
Really?
my breast like was swollen.
Because your tumor was growing?
My doctor was like, she's at Paris, I'm so glad that your surgery is in a couple of days because your breast is swollen. She was like, I'm not even gonna do another scan. She's like, I could just feel that it has grown in size. It was decreasing, and then I guess it got angry at me and was like,
Yeah, it's like, who you trusting
first of
again?
all, I was here, like, you are not about to kill me. And I'm like, no,
That's
you're not
right.
about to kill me. So
'Cause you are
this is what's gonna
trespassing.
happen.
You are
And
trespassing.
so, I had my mastectomy, and my doctor was like, they took 19 lymph nodes. Five of them were
Ooh.
positive for cancer. And he was like, we got all the cancer out. This was in October. November came, they did my follow-up scan, found out that I had residual cancer in my pectoral area. And it went from 20 rounds to, I mean, 20 treatments to 35 treatments to radiation.
So were
So,
you exhausted?
oh yeah, it was bad. That was worse than chemo,
Did
honestly.
it burn you? Did you
Oh,
get
it burned me.
burned?
Like I have like still like residual scars and it's
Right.
hard. Like I have lymphedema and
And see, that's why I said, once you get the diagnosis, you never get your body back the
no.
way it is. And that's why you have to understand who you are. This outside thing, it's like it's going to work anyway, because I keep saying, and I will say again, you look amazing. And I would never look at you and say, well, she been sick, she been sick, because you look amazing. So I will
Thank
say
you.
that again. So it's like all those things come with that one diagnosis, because this is how this one thing ravages your body. And the stronger and the longer that you fight. And just like you said, everything you on this, now that's a new story for me, that the tumor grew, was feeding on the chemo. Like, this is nothing to us. I don't care. We're going to show you. We're just going to show you. Keep on. And it's like you're having a competition here. Who's going to win? So, and then all your lymph nodes, you have five positives. That's a lot. That's a lot. And then to have the lymphedema. So are you in therapy for that?
So yes, I am in therapy for that. I get
Okay.
Botox injections in my chest wall and in my
Okay.
trapeze because it's like a brick. Like they don't tell you
Really?
the oh yes. Like because I was going to do the reconstructive surgery like a year and a half ago. And they were filling up my expander and
Oh.
for whatever reason my body was like, we don't
No.
like this, and I end up getting a it was like this big of a hole on the side, and they had to take my expander out, so I couldn't even
Forget that.
finish
Forget
with my
that.
treatment. And so I was just like, you know what, God, if it's meant for me to have it, the day will come around where I have the reconstructive. But if it's not, I
It's
can look at
not.
my body in the mirror and I'm like, okay, all right,
Yeah,
it
your
is what
body
it
is your
is.
body. Your body is just what you said. It's your body.
Yes.
It's not somebody else's. It's not the one you ordered online. This is what you have.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell, you know, we have the discussion here that, you know, some men can and some men can't. And for those that can't, I don't even care whether or not, because I'm just not there. I'm just not there. You know, I have a man. I have a man, and that's my father. And that's all that's important to me.
Yeah.
Because nobody can do me like my father in heaven does me.
Yeah.
I mean, God does everything for me. He's the source of the resource. And everybody else, just watch.
Yeah.
You know, just watch how this goes. And that's all I got for you, you know. But I'm not interested in a relationship outside of my relationship with my Bible. Or, you know, with Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior. That's all. That's my relationship. And I love when I talk about that and you just smile like, oh, yeah.
Because my grandmother, she got divorced years ago. But she when I tell you this woman, she like her and God, like that's her man.
It is.
That is her man. And
the intimacy of this relationship, I just wouldn't even expect anybody to know what direction to go to get it.
Exactly.
So absolutely not. Absolutely not. So is your grandmother still with us?
She is. She's turning 80 this year.
Tell her I said, hey, because I know what she
means. I will. Look, and I said, I was like, I need to get a phone call tonight because every time I talk to her, she's like, that's my man. That's my man. Yeah. Nobody can replace him. That's my
tell man. Tell her, I agree. Wholeheartedly, I agree.
I would definitely tell her.
So are you a part of any organizations where you speak and you tell your story?
Yeah. So I'm with Tiger Lily, which is, how me and Kelly met.
Right.
Tiger Lily. And I just got on American Cancer Society, but I haven't done anything with them quite yet, but I did speak with somebody about talking and doing panels, and I've done a panel discussion with Through Tiger Lily, because they set up different things and avenues for you to really succeed and tell your story, and also educate not only for yourself and advocate for yourself, but to advocate for other people. And so I've done quite a few things this past year, and so I just pray that God opens up more opportunities for me to share my story and talk more to different people about, my experience with cancer and, hopefully that, will come, I know that God will set that up and I know that he'll open that door for me because
he saved your life for a reason.
Yeah.
And everything that you're able to talk about, it's not for you anymore.
Yeah.
It's for somebody else to hear. Cause on the show, we talk about how every day right now today, somebody was diagnosed.
Yeah.
And I talk about when I go into my oncologist, I forget, I think I'm healed. So I walk in there in the waiting room. There are no seats. And when they call my name, I walk in the double doors, the chemo room. And I always tell the story that, I walk on the side of the nurse.
Yeah.
So, she blocks my vision, but I always have to look at those doors.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
And I do. And I think, I don't know if that's selfish or I think because it worked out for me and I'm still here and I am thriving.
Yeah.
But when I open that door to the office, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess not.
Yeah.
So like I said, right now, today, somebody was diagnosed that is going to be looking for an answer, some direction. Especially the information and, the informations that they have, where I go sometimes, they have what's called a breast cancer coordinator.
Yeah.
But she may not have the answers that you're looking for for you. And it may not be somewhere where you live.
Yeah.
That's going to be convenient for you to go to.
Right.
So you have to be able to meet people where they need you to meet them. And it's not always where you are standing.
Yeah.
So you do have to get out there. Are you going to the Breasty Camp?
Yes. Okay, I did get a chance to go last year, but I was like, I'm going this year.
I Kelly had told me that it should be on the website.
Yes, really it's soon. On there now. It's oh, actually cool. It's on Is there it? Now. Yeah.
Oh, and it's breasties.com.
Yeah. And you can actually download the app and like sign up, and you can get because last year I tried to get a scholarship because I couldn't really afford to go last year. And it'd probably be the same thing this year, so I'll probably talk to Kelly to see if I can like maybe get like a scholarship because they
Yeah,
paid for it. The only thing I had to pay for was my ticket.
your flight ticket or
Work.
your ticket to the camp?
No, my flight ticket to New York.
Okay. And where are you located?
So I'm in Atlanta.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm gonna go because I'm going because I'm gonna see all these people that have been in my show, and I'm gonna go, and we're gonna really hug and thank each other. But Paris, I am so grateful. I'm grateful for your story. I
Thank
am,
you.
and I'm grateful to see that smile on your face because
Thank you.
it wasn't a promise that you'd have it,
Yep.
and you have a smile on your face like you are grateful and you are thankful. And
Am.
I just want to say that I'm grateful and I'm thankful to you for sharing your time,
You.
for volunteering to Kelly's email. And Kelly, I will reach out and thank Kelly for this wonderful person that she referred
Yes,
us to. But
my
thank you so
girl.
much.
Yes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
And I do look forward to seeing you at camp this
Me
summer.
too. I'm so excited that I get a chance to meet you in person.
Absolutely. So you take care of
Yes.
yourself. You take real good care of yourself.
I will. You too.
And continue to be the advocate you are, Pierce. Thank you again so
Thank
much.
you.
Thanks everyone for listening. Make sure to follow and rate the show wherever you get your podcast. This podcast is produced by Rainbow Creatives with executive producer Matthew Jones, producers Steven Selnick, and editors and mixers Rob Johnson and Stefano Montelli. See you on the next one.